what Venezuela is willing to pay for.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Today, the United Nations takes a secret vote on which country from Latin America will occupy a 2-year seat on the Security Council. From the Americas desk at WLRN, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Hugo Chavez wants a seat on the Security Council bad, and he spent the money to prove it, says the Miami Herald's Andres Oppenheimer.
President Chavez traveled all over the world, more than 30 international trips, has offered subsidized oil, has bought countries' foreign debt bonds in exchange for countries' commitment to vote for Venezuela.
Despite his free spending, Chavez turned a lot of countries off when he called Bush the devil at the UN last month. It now looks like neither U.S.-backed Guatemala nor Venezuela will get the 128 votes they need to win a seat. So which country will step in as the compromise candidate?
Most of them have said no because several of these countries rely on subsidized Venezuelan oil and they don't want to antagonize Chavez by saying they are ready to be compromise candidates.
Oppenheimer says the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, and Uruguay have been mentioned. The voting could take several days. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Another day, another options backdating scandal, and another CEO departure. United Health Group says chairman and chief exec William McGuire is stepping down. An investigation found options granted him that yielded enormous riches, over $1 billion, were backdated. United Health is the country's second largest managed care company. Oil rose to $59 a barrel today. That's after OPEC's decision to hold an emergency meeting later this week. Traders are worried the cartel would finally agree on implementation of a production cut. A new kind of diesel is coming to a pump near you starting today. It's expected to cut soot emissions by 10%. Even bigger changes come in January with a new generation of diesel truck engines. Rachel Dornhelm looks at how the fuel that's long been considered dirty is cleaning up.
Today marks a big turning point for diesel. Alan Schaefer with the Diesel Technology Forum says the effects of the new fuel will be as significant as the introduction of unleaded gas.
That led to cars that we're driving today are 99% cleaner than ones back in the 70s that ran on leaded gasoline.
This isn't just news for the CB set. Schaefer says the new diesel formula will enable consumer car makers like GM, Mercedes, and Honda to meet strict emission standards.
This fuel opens a lot of doors, and we think consumers are going to have a lot more very fuel-efficient choices in the near future.
Diesel engines are about 30% more fuel-efficient than gasoline engines. Schaefer says unlike hybrids that mainly bank fuel savings and stop-and-go traffic, clean diesel engines save regardless of the terrain. Industry research predicts consumer diesel sales will nearly triple in the next 10 years. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Not. And on Wall Street, all eyes are on the Dow, which is flirting with another record. It'll open today just 40 points shy of breaking another record and hitting 12,000. This is Marketplace. Sir Paul McCartney has applied to register his name as a trademark. Diantha Parker said it wouldn't be limited to music.
Try to see it my way.
It's one thing to own the rights to more than 25,000 songs, as Sir Paul McCartney's music publishing company does. But now his sights appear to be set on a Paul Newman-style takeover of your kitchen, not to mention your wardrobe, and possibly your barn. William Lazito of the Strategic Name Development Corporation says Sir Paul's star power and clean image would make him a lucrative TM indeed.
I think it could be worth up to $1 billion, and that's not an exaggeration.
If approved, the trademark application means the McCartney name could be attached to items including waistcoats, decorative paper strips for fixing to shelves, artificial coffee, and hay. In Los Angeles, I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
And you are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We're produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the National Organization for Rare Disorders' mission to identify, treat, and cure overlooked and undertreated health conditions. More at rarediseases.org. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist. at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. If you can't get enough TV news, you'll be happy with an announcement from Yahoo that's expected today. It's going to start posting clips from 16 CBS news stations online. It's all part of Yahoo's attempt to get into video after arch-rival Google snapped up homespun video site YouTube last week. Now, all of Google's deals are not billion-dollar babies. Take the case of its entry into a small town in eastern Oregon. David Welch explains.
The city of The Dalles, Oregon, landed one really big fish. That fish is named Google. It's the result of years of political maneuvering and hard work by the town, and will eventually result in up to 100 high-paying jobs for this town of about 12,000. Andrea Kloss is the director of the Port of The Dalles. She says that Google was instantly attracted by the town's shovel-ready industrial site. In fact, even before Google came calling, Kloss says the town was ready for any big company to start building.
We had land that was available, power that was available, and a fiber optic network that was available.
And those high-tech cables certainly didn't hurt the town's chances of attracting Google. Rob Van Cleve is mayor of The Dalles. He says the town's new fiber optic network makes it one of the top 10 most wired hamlets in the country. That's an important factor for a search engine like Google to consider. But the mayor points out that high-tech infrastructure didn't seal the deal for The Dalles. He says the real closer was Mother Nature.
I remember one meal we were sitting down and I said, you know, we have a growing wine industry. We have an amphitheater in the gorge. We have mountain climbing, windsurfing, bike riding. You know, we're right next to a national scenic area, but you're not here to talk about that. You want to talk about business. And they said, no, that's exactly what we want to hear. Our employees need to live here and their families need to live here.
Google isn't alone when it comes to this corporate shift to rural America. Companies like Yahoo and Toyota have also chosen small towns for their new production facilities. It's a trend that may be picking up speed in the business world. Dr. Howard Feldman is the associate dean at University of Portland School of Business. He says companies stand to save a lot of money by relocating to rural towns. Rising real estate costs, along with factors like traffic, pollution, and the high cost of living, can make it difficult to do business in urban areas.
But if they can find places like in rural locations in Arkansas, in North Carolina, and other states, costs are considerably less, and it's a viable option for some of these organizations.
And that potential for savings is attracting big companies to little towns. Back in The Dalles, Mayor Van Cleve says Google has been working hard to fit in with the town's existing culture. But when a big company like Google shows up, he understands that certain things change.
I saw a Lamborghini parked at an intersection with a Ford F-150 pickup, and you know, they looked well together. Our future's bright, and Google's part of that.
And the mayor hopes that Google won't be the only big company playing a part in that future. In The Dalles, Oregon, I'm David Welch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Hey, did you ever hear of the...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.